Welcome back, WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You're listening out on the live airwaves. We're at Costas, my home away from home down in Dundalk. Come on down and say hello. We're here till 5, at least till 5:05. I've got a date with Bob on the yoga mat at 7:15 tonight because I've been sitting all day trying to get myself together. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino on Sunday watching two teams not called the Ravens play football. I'll be there just for the Taylor Swift thing and for the gambling and the delicious food and the roast beef. But come on by. We'll be at Hollywood Casino. That's Sunday. Wednesday all day long. Coco's 9 to 5. Thursday, State Fair in Catonsville. People are bringing bags full of groceries in here. I love that for friends at the Maryland Food Bank. On Friday, we'll be at Pappas in the back at Cockeysville up in the lounge area. Love it up there. They got a little fireplace and all that. We're going to be talking some sports later on in the week. As well, Luke's going to be stopping by, as well as Rasig, who is my co-host with a K at Coco's on Wednesday. I have some defending champions coming back on the show. People stopping out here. First things first, sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. I feel like Oprah. You get a lottery ticket. You get a lottery ticket. Oh. Everybody gets a lottery ticket. You know, there we go. Misty Bruce is here. She is the executive director. So I always mess this up. McVet, MC Vet. I mess it up. Which is it really officially?
So it's McVet.
McVet.
Officially, yes.
McVet.
But we'll answer to MC Vet if you're talking about it.
Well, but I'm spelling it. I'm spelling it out. It's MC Vet.
Yeah, you are.
Misty Bruce is here. She's the executive director of McVet.
That's right.
There you go. I like that. And Dr. Kevin Green is also here, director of business development and a vet, a real vet. My father-in-law served in Vietnam, so every time I see him, I say thanks for the service. Give us your background in service, doctor.
I enlisted in the Army in the late 90s. I got commissioned into the infantry. I did that for a while. I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria. I ended my career as an intelligence officer. I focused on human intelligence and counterintelligence.
Heavy stuff.
Intense.
The intense stuff.
Yeah.
You see this every day, right, as the executive director at McVet. Tell me your background, because you've been on the show before. Let's reset with you, because you're always trying. This is a local organization helping veterans, and I think we've seen veterans struggle. People just like the doctor here who need help, and your service provides veterans helping veterans, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, one of the things that I find very interesting and heartwarming about McVet is that it has a really unique way to intentionally help someone at a grassroots level, to be able to say yes when other organizations have said no. And that's one of the things that struck me when I walk in the door, when I walked into the door, we're at 11 months now.
Okay.
Yeah. Was that it has a way, McVet does, of repurposing a person, of filling them with hope, of getting them to yes, reassuring them that they are seen, they are valued, and that every journey matters.
Doc, tell me your story, your journey in this, to become the director of business development. Clearly, you don't go to war and serve the way you do without being affected, right, in some way. And you come back home different. Every veteran has said that to me in a lot of ways. And whatever that adjustment is, it's all taken on a different way. Family, you come back, money, life, real life, adjusting to not being.
Yeah, and there. It's, you know, those we'll call them triggers, that cause a physical response. For me, that never goes away, right? But learning cognitively and logically how to deal with that is something that, you know, is provided by mental health, medications, things like that. But to your point, nobody goes to war and does those things and sees those things and is the same person, right? It affects different people differently, but it definitely changes who you are, how you think, and definitely how you operate.
I got into an argument this week with one of my sponsors, Bill Cole. He's on the air, Cole Roofing, and he used the word patriot. He used that, and you know, I'm not a Trump guy, but that's neither here nor there. But the word patriot being usurped in some way, I feel like I'm patriotic. I love the country, and you know, I say thank you to service people. I think sometimes I find some of the military stuff to be not overwrought, but like not real. You know, it's they pay for it. They're buying advertising for the military, and then I see people come back and they can't get help. you know, from the military, from our country. And that's where my patriotism, the fact that you guys have to exist, right, that the government isn't taking care of the people who served in the way that they should. And I hear and see and feel that. Just the fact that any veteran is ever homeless is just mind-boggling to me. Like, that could ever happen, and they can't get the help from the government, that they have to come to people like you. I think that's shameful, but I'm still a patriot, but I want to fix that. And I know organizations like you really are, when you can't get the help you need when you come back, this is where you guys step in, right?
So I would say that McVet utilizes partnerships across lots of sectors, and one of our biggest partners is the Department of Veteran Affairs. They definitely have skin in the game. You know, a lot of our funding comes from grants. And aside from our government partners, you know, those individual donors, but also like-minded organizations, small government like Baltimore City, you know, working across all different types of genres of organizations to make sure that we're filling the gap is critical. It's very important. I think that when you spread yourself out across different types of organizations to look for support or funding, if you will,
well, it all comes back to money.
Yeah.
Money makes this happen.
Yeah, it makes it all more likely that you can say yes a little more often.
And sometimes it's like I use the VA. I have a really great experience using the VA.
I love hearing that.
But sometimes it's individual, right? Like some people either don't qualify to go to the VA, but they still have issues, we're a great place for that, right? We take anybody, no matter what your discharge type, no matter what your status. To me, that made me feel like I want to be a part of this organization.
How long have you been with McVet?
Two weeks.
You're brand new.
Yeah.
Oh, well, God, I love hearing this.
Yeah.
So why are you with McVet then? I mean, give me the whole
entry. Want the long answer or the short one?
Well, I mean, when did you become aware of it? I love the long answer. This is what we do.
Okay.
Literally, I like the long answer.
I was a cop before I went in the Army. After my active duty time, I was a government employee for the Department of the Army. And then I finished up, and I'm not a golfer, but I use this all the time. I'm on the back nine of my career. So I've chased the leadership positions. I've chased the money. Go for the position. What's the next level? Get promoted. And fortunately for me, I'm in a financial situation where I can pick a job that I want based on what I like and want to do. For me, everything that I've done, I worked in higher education for a while, since 2012. But it's always come back to veterans for me. It's always been a soft spot for me.
You've seen veterans struggle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that, like, literally. Yes. I mean, I'm not bringing up anything new here to say that we haven't done a good job. Like, all of us, collectively, the country, us, patriots, taxpayer, whatever you want to say, leadership, blame it on who you want, we haven't done a good job. We haven't done a good enough job.
There's just so many facets to this, right? There's so many different issues and people, and it's easy to say that we haven't done a good job, but I think...
Well, we ask for a lot. Well, we ask a lot of you. Anyone that ever served the country, we're asking so much when they leave their family. Go. I mean, we saw the heartwarming stories of the reunions when people come back.
Yep.
But we ask a lot of veterans.
And
we really do.
These men and women volunteer, whether they go to combat or not. They know that when they volunteer to do this, that's on the table. You know, that it could happen, and they still do.
Well, it's just like police officers.
They sign up to do your service on that.
It's a difficult role and a role nobody else understands outside of whatever that fraternity would be.
Yeah, and there's definitely a brotherhood surrounding that. But what I've seen at McVet is that brotherhood gets stretched to people that aren't veterans. They just understand what we go through and they want to be part of it. And I think that's what makes McVet so successful is the partnerships with the community, with industry and other organizations, as well as the government, local, state, and federal governments. They've brought a group of people together to attack this problem holistically.
Who comes to you, Misty? What would you say to my audience out there? You got a neighbor, you got a relative, someone that's not getting what they need from the VA. Is that primarily, if you're not getting what you need from the VA, or you're a veteran, or you know someone that is struggling getting what they need, this is where you want them to call you, right?
You could definitely refer them over to McVet. I would say, too, some of the things, like Doc mentioned, that are really unique about McVet is that if you have a DD-214,
What is that?
214, excuse me. If you've been discharged from the military
at
any point, or if you were a reservist and never activated. So McVet doesn't necessarily put the same restrictions or constraints around that service as some other organizations do. So you might not be eligible anywhere else. I'm going to figure out a way to say yes to you. And so I would say that if you have found yourself in a place where you at one time raised your hand and said, send me, I'll go, come see me. And let me see if I can help you, or if my case management team can help you, if Doc can help
you. What do people come to you with? What's a typical case or cause? Not typical, but like, give me the last five people that came in and what their issues are.
I would say people, I consider them our nation's war wounded, and those wounds can be things that you don't see, right? But they can be things that you see. We often get veterans who present with maybe they suffer from PTSD or some sort of mental health, whether it's from time in service or not. And that mental health has led to a degradation in other areas of their life. Maybe they are failing at financing. Maybe they're failing at a marriage. And for whatever reason, over the years, that has compounded itself. And so they end up in a place where they've lost a home. They've alienated themselves from everyone who used to say yes to them. Maybe they lost their driver's license, their professional credentials, their car. Usually when people come to McVet, they don't just need help with one thing. It's the interest has compounded over the years and resulted in them being in a place where they don't have anyone that'll say yes anymore.
Well, and the qualifications is simple. If you've served, that's it. That's it. All you need to be involved with McVet.
That's it. And what's interesting is that female veterans who come to us don't realize that they're veterans. They don't somehow see themselves as being in the same category as our male veterans. And so I would say, especially to female veterans, if you've ever raised your hand and said, I'll go, yes, you're eligible for services at McVet.
So in business ops is what you're doing, Doc, and trying to raise the organization. And I've done things with Jeff before and with McVet. I know about your organization. Where is it right now in regard to how people can help out, fundraising, events? What are you guys doing this year that people can get involved in? Because maybe as a volunteer in some way.
Do you want me to take that?
Sure. Yeah.
So I would say volunteer, yes. If you want to give back in a meaningful way, we'd love to have you come down to McVet and talk about leveraging a passion or a talent that you have to support our veterans. If you want to make a monetary donation, absolutely. We can accept a monetary donation. Some of the events that we have on the horizon for this year, tentatively planning a what I call a micro gala event. And so it'll be, like a Roaring Twenties kind of theme, working on that.
I give me a new outfit. I got to go get me some pinstripes or something.
Let's face it, that's the only reason I'm going with that theme is because the costuming
is cool. I had something yesterday with an
80s
theme. I've had themes. Mm-hmm. A lot of charities doing themes these days.
Yeah.
That's good. Gives me creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday I had a Wizard of Oz theme. I'm like, I'm not doing a scarecrow to Tin Man,
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at that, and then there's been a request for like a crab feast, but also.
I know people with crabs.
Yes, we're here.
We're here.
Yeah. So, and then looking at, aside from fundraising, awareness raising. And so having lunch and learns, some symposiums, but I would also say invite us. If you have an event going on where you're talking about meeting the needs of people who maybe don't have a voice at the table, invite us. We would love to widen our circle of contacts.
So people come to you, not shelter in your place, right? Clothing, shelter. What do you provide? Someone comes, knocks on the door and says, I'm a veteran, I need help.
That's the beauty of McVet, right?
Okay.
Is they understand, and research supports this, right? They understand that in order to make or help somebody become a productive, healthy part of the community, It isn't just, like she said, housing or finance. You have to heal the person holistically. So McVet, in my experience, is really the only organization I've ever met where they look at individualizing a program that helps each person with what they need across all of their life domains.
It begins with counseling in some
case
way.
Case management, yeah. Counseling. And just before we move on to that, because I'm the business guy, I want to talk about what my major push here is. I'm looking for corporate donors, people that want to make big donations from corporations. It's, of course, tax deductible, but there's a lot of opportunity for big corporations to really do good things for not just the community, but the veteran community. Specifically those corporations that the military uses their products. You know, we're looking at a local company like Under Armour. Home Depot is very good with veterans. So there's a lot of opportunity for that, and that's kind of what I'm digging into now is trying to look at even the defense contractors like Boeing and Northrop Grumman and all these companies who really their business model relies on veterans, right? So
I think they send civilians to war.
Yeah,
like literally
it'd be a great
into
opportunity.
A war zone, maybe not to war, but that was a big part of our charge here the last 15 years. Those folks are going to come back, and whether they get help or not, you know. My wife was a first responder, and I don't want to out her company, but she works for a great company. They sent her to 9/11 back in 2001 to be a first responder for tech. She put Wall Street back together. She got leukemia in 13, 14, 15, almost died twice, two bone marrow transplants. Nobody from her company even acknowledged that, like, they sent her into the war zone. Like, literally.
Yeah.
We didn't think of it like that then. We didn't even realize that that's how she got cancer. But it is kind of years later when you get put into a situation that's not a good situation, you come back. I don't know what happened to those people. I just know there were a lot of individual contractors who weren't military, who didn't take the pledge, but still went and they got paid, and they got paid at a maybe even a higher rate than military. I thought all of it was a little weird, to be honest with you, now that we've removed ourselves from that situation over there. But the civilian part of that, I wonder who's responsible for that, especially when my wife almost died, basically fixing an act of war. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you with business development, people coming out and sponsors, somebody says, all right, I got $5,000, $10,000, I'm going to write a check. Dude, where's the money going? Tell exactly where that money could go for corporate sponsors.
So we can direct it to whatever function or piece that they want, or it can go into overall operations. But if they have a specific need, let's say they just want to help shelter services, or if they're more into we want this money to go toward recovery, we can direct that money accordingly.
That's good to know. Mr. Bruce is here. She's the executive director of McVet. Dr. Kevin Green, he's our new defending champion. He'll be a return guest when he comes back. He is the director of business development here. And where's McVet located? Give everybody it's very easy to find out on the web. And there's a lot of information up on your website to kind of click around and learn a little bit. Everybody how to find you and give you a call. And somebody out there may have a vet in need, and we want to make sure that if you're not getting what you need, we're all patriots here. We want to pitch in and help you out.
I appreciate that. I do. So you can go to McVet.org and find us on our website.
And this is really local. This is like right here.
It's
all
local.
Here.
It is. It's right over in the often forgotten about industrial side of East Baltimore.
Right here. That's where I am, where my people are from.
Yeah, 7.5 miles from here.
All right. Well, East Baltimore, McVet.org, correct?
Where did
you get
right.
that? All right. Well, thanks for coming by. And did I miss anything? We got everything in?
No, I appreciate you having us back on the show. Always love spending time with you. And
I love that you come out to Costas and hung out today, and we got some canned goods. Somebody brought some peanut butter. Look out. I'm getting hungry. They brought me some crab soup. We're here on behalf of our friends at the Maryland Food Bank, the Maryland Lottery putting this on. I have my wacky hat for my friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. A lot of this was inspired by seeing Wise Markets do a food bank drive with Channel 2 a couple months ago with my friend Jamie Costello and Bill over there. And my son came up with the Cup of Super Bowl idea. He's like, Dad, if they're not letting you go cover the Super Bowl and you're not doing Radio Row for the 28th year, you should do something with crab soup. So that's how this thing got started. And I figured crab soup, hunger, coldest week of the year, raising food that we can actually see and feel for local pantries. So that's what we're out doing. We're going to be talking about St. John's Pantry today. We're going to actually have Carmen Del Guecho from the Maryland Food Bank on to start the show Thursday. Wednesday, we're at Coco's all day. Mike Resigliano, Luke Jones, a whole bunch of cool guests on Wednesday. Thursday, we are at State Fair on the west side of town. And then Friday, back up to Cockeysville, Timonium, Mary. We're going to be up at Pappas from 9 until 5. Come on by and say hello. And I can't give you two lottery tickets, so I've already get. I like doing my Oprah thing when I throw tickets at.
This one's lucky. I can feel it.
Big appreciation to everybody here at Costas for making this happen. I swear, we're in live radio. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to like wolf down as much of a 50-50, half-and-half crab soup as I can. You guys aren't Baltimore. You Baltimorean?
No, I'm not.
You're not a Baltimorean. See, I got to tell you this. It's a little information. Maryland crab soup's the red soup, right? Like a vegetable soup, a crab. And then the cream of crab soup, which I loved as a kid, puts a little pounds on you, a little heavy sometimes, as a cracker. I had never seen anybody combine it until the last 10 years. I'm 55. I mean, so the first 45 years of my life, you wouldn't have, like, chocolate with your peanut butter. You just wouldn't have combined it. The last 10 years, it's become this thing. And I don't know that it's controversial. It was controversial earlier. I'm like, you want some? It tastes like garlic. Just give me the red soup. So I'm doing half and half here. And everybody does half and half, but it's not even on the menu here. It's kind of like animal style at In-N-Out. You have to know about it. So, but Pete said he's going to add it because so many people ask for it. But nobody ever asked for it before, like last century for sure. I would say like this is an aughts thing. Last 10 or 15 years, half and half, kind of like an Arnold Palmer of crab soup.
Okay.
It's delicious. I have it over there. It's settling, and I'm going to go eat it. So we're going to take a break. Misty Bruce, my thanks, and Dr. Kevin Green as well from our friends at MCVET. Find them at MCVET.org. You can find me at WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking Baltimore positive. Stay with us.